Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. So welcome to our second Lent reflection. During Lent we are looking at the final words of Jesus on the cross and thinking about what deeper things his words invite us into. Last week we thought about his words of forgiveness when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And we considered the amazing depths of forgiveness that Jesus offers us, and also the forgiveness that Jesus challenges us to offer others. This week we'll be looking at the words, "I am thirsty," and consider how these words are an invitation to service. So we're going to first start by reading the words in which Jesus talks about this. So we're reading from John 19, verses 28. To 30. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. "I am thirsty." That's one of the final things that Jesus says. "I am thirsty." It seems like such a basic thing to say, and it truly demonstrates Jesus' humanity. So often when we think about Jesus, we think about his divinity, his power, his might. We think about all the amazing things he did, his miracles, all these sorts of things. But we don't truly stop very often to ponder on his humanity. But when Jesus says that he is thirsty, he demonstrates how truly human he was when he came to earth. He was not just God pretending to be human, but fully human flesh, living and breathing the human life. And so he suffered the same problems that we do. He felt hunger, thirst, tiredness and pain. Interestingly, according to the Journal of the American Medical Association, after asphyxiation, the second most common cause of death when a person was crucified was because of dehydration. Because of the immense physical toll this method of execution had on the body, people would sweat profusely. And additionally, these crucifixions took place in the heat of the Middle Eastern sun, and so it's not really that surprising that Jesus felt thirsty. But let's actually stop and think about it for a moment. I said it wasn't surprising that Jesus was thirsty, but Jesus, the one who offered others the water of life so that we would never be thirsty again, is thirsty. The one who has such control over water that he was able to walk on the sea and calm raging storms, he is thirsty. The one who created water itself, who separated the waters above from the waters below at the beginning of time, is thirsty. At the cross, we can see the humanity of Jesus truly on display as we watch him suffer, even though he could change his fate at any second. The religious rulers mock Jesus, saying, "Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God, let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the soldiers also sneered at him, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Jesus could have done exactly that. He could have come down from the cross and saved himself. But he didn't, because he knew he had to die so that we could live. And so it's just amazing to think that the God who created the entire universe says he's thirsty. But what does all this have to do with service? I mentioned that at the beginning that Jesus' words are an invitation to service, but how? What does it mean? Well, firstly, let's think about quality of service. So I'm just going to read from John 2, verses 1 to 10. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 litres. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water which had been turned into wine. He did not realise where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." So in Jesus' first miracle, he changes water into wine when they run out of wine at a wedding. We are told that when the master of the banquet tasted the wine, he said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after. The guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." Jesus provided the very best wine that anyone had tasted. Yet when we look at Jesus on the cross, and he asks for a drink, what does humanity provide him with? We give him cheap, nasty, bitter wine, raised to him on a sponge to suck the wine from. Jesus gave us the very best, not just at the wedding in Cana, but he gave us himself. He gave his life for us. And we give him the cheap stuff, the least, the tiniest offering we can. Now we might try to argue that it's not fair to lump our offering in with what the Roman guard gave Jesus on a stick. We might say, if we were there, we would have tried to give him more. If we had the ability to go back in time, we would have given him the best drink possible. But we don't need a time machine to give our service to Jesus. Jesus calls us to serve him now with our very lives. Romans 12 verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." But in our daily lives, how much do we truly give to God? How much of our time do we give to him? Do we regularly sit down with God and chat with him, read what he tells us? And when we do that, how often does our mind wander to different things that we have to think about? And when God calls to us, how much are we willing to step outside our comfort zone and follow him? How willing are we to give up our luxuries for the sake of Christ? Jesus gave us so much, and we can never, ever repay him for his amazing gift of grace. But he does call us into service, to learn to live lives that are not focused on ourselves, but instead is focused on God and on others. Yet our service is often found lacking. We are like the Roman soldier who offers up the cheap, nasty, bitter wine. I know that often I do not give the very best of myself to God. I hold things back to use for my own desires. So as we look at Jesus hanging on the cross, struggling for breath, body bruised, battered, bleeding, and he's gasping for water, can we challenge ourselves about the quality of service we give our Lord? Is there something that you know God is calling you to give him, but you've been holding back? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you loosen your grip on whatever it is that you're holding back. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you a heart that longs to serve. And that idea of having a heart that longs to serve leads me nicely onto my next point about our attitude to service. We are naturally self-centred creatures. Our thoughts will often revolve around what is good, right, or best for myself, me, myself, and I. And this is why we need the Holy Spirit to change our hearts and give us a longing, a desire to serve others. Jesus came as a servant to set us free. He now invites us to be servants to others so they can know him and be free too. The attitude with which we come to Jesus matters. Jesus doesn't want us to come to him begrudgingly, reluctant, or duty-bound. He wants us to serve with a grateful heart. In 2 Corinthians 9, Paul states this clearly. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. When Jesus received the wine from the soldiers while he was on the cross, the offer was not made with a cheerful heart. Instead, it was designed to be insulting and mocking. The guards offered up the bitter drink on a stick from the hyssop plant. The hyssop plant was known for its healing and cleansing properties. It was also the plant that was used to spread blood on the doors when the Israelites were in Egypt, when the spirit passed over the Israelite families and struck down the Egyptian firstborns. And so it was a significant plant in Jewish tradition, and especially significant during the time of the festival of Passover. Now, the Romans may not have known all the details about why the hyssop plant was significant, but they surely must have known it was important in the Jewish faith. So when they offered Jesus the wine on a hyssop stalk, it is a mocking insult. Even in their act of giving Jesus something to aid his thirst, they use it as an opportunity to hurt him and throw scorn on him. They offer him the wine on something that is supposed to heal, while they are killing him on the cross. They offer him wine on the stick that was important during Passover as an insult to his Jewish heritage and his claim that he is the king of the Jews. The service of the Roman guards is mocking and insulting. When you serve Jesus, what attitude do you have? Reluctance, duty, habit, or love, joy, wonder? It is easy to fall into the attitude of serving God out of duty or habit. But let us look at Jesus on the cross once again and remind ourselves of how great, how amazing our God is. Let joy fill your heart once more and allow it to influence the way in which you serve God. So we've spoken a lot about serving God, but how do we serve him? He is not here in the flesh with us now for us to actively serve him. But Jesus tells us that when we serve others, we are serving him. So I'm going to read from Matthew 25, verses 34 to 40. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and going to visit you? Then the king will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. I find this passage inspiring and incredibly challenging. Jesus tells us that if we want to serve him, we need to look out for the needs of others. How often do we really seek to feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty? How often do we invite strangers into our homes or clothe those who need clothes? Let me give you an example of a friend of mine who I've always been really impressed with, because she certainly lived out the call to invite strangers into her home. Long before the government sponsored the Homes for Ukraine scheme, my friend would house refugees, providing them with shelter, food, support and care. She was compassionate to those who had nothing, who had to flee from their countries for safety. She didn't worry about how much time, money or effort it would cost. Instead, she looked at the need and had compassion and did what she could. My friend's dedication to supporting those in need challenges me. What do I do to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, invite the stranger, clothe those in need, look after the ill or visit those in prison? How much am I willing to do to serve those around me? It's an important question to consider, because if we read the rest of the parable, Jesus condemns those who refuse to help others in need. So I'm just going to read the rest of the parable from Matthew 25, verses 41 to 46. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or ill or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. When we consider how to serve God, we also need to consider how we serve others. When Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment is, he links the command to love God with the command to love others. When we demonstrate our love towards others, we also demonstrate our love towards God. What can we do this week to serve someone in need? How can we demonstrate our love for others and our love for God by acting in service to help someone? There is Jesus, hanging on the cross, asking for a drink, and he is served the least, the cheap, the rubbish. How can we do better? How can we serve him fully with love as we care for those around us? Let's pray. Lord, you have given us so much. You always give us your best. When we think about your first miracle in Cana, you gave the best wine. And yet when you ask for a drink, we give you the worst. So Lord, I pray that you would forgive us. And and that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit to help us to long to serve you, to help us to really, truly want to show our love for you and for others by serving. Lord, help us when we are complacent or apathetic or weary or selfish or greedy or whatever it is that might hold us back. Help us to let go of the things you're telling us to let go of and be willing to serve you with all our hearts, to serve others as you have called us to. Thank you, God. Amen.